I'm Betsy Payette. Marilyn McCarney and I are interviewing personnel who were or who are instrumental in developing Renfrew Museum and Park. Today is August 12, 1992, and we are interviewing John Diemer, who was one of the first program directors and curators for Renfrew Museum and Park. He held this position for approximately 2 years, starting in 1975.
Good morning. I am John H. Diemer. I am currently living in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, and am employed by the National Park Service of the United States, U.S. Department of the Interior. I have a series of questions in front of me that were drawn up by Marilyn and Betsy, and I'm going to address them, although not necessarily in order. I think I'll begin with their question on my background, training, and education. I graduated from high school in New England and graduated then from Colby College in Waterville, Maine. I was in Air Force ROTC, and after graduation, joined the Air Force for 4 years and was stationed in Dover, Delaware. There, I took an adult education course taught by staff of Winnetur Museum. At the same time, I took 2 courses in American art and American decorative arts through the University of Delaware. There is a question on any problems I had, and I wouldn't say I had any serious problems. I certainly had the support of my board here at Renfrew and support of the late Dick Miller and Borough Council, and I feel I had support of my superintendent, Ed Miller. It was interesting working with Ed. You have to understand that Ed worked with the Nicodemus family for some 20 years before they died as their superintendent of grounds and property and of caretaker of collections in their home. And when Renfrew became a museum, Ed Miller was named to the board and also named as park superintendent and the person responsible for activities in the park. Now understand my relationship coming into Waynesboro. I was the new fellow on the block. Ed and his family had lived here for a number of years. Ed was very active and remains active in the Lions Club. I know I've bought my share of brooms and light bulbs. Did they sell brooms, light bulbs, pancakes, sausages, you name it. Ed always had something of interest to me. It troubled me when I knew I was upsetting Ed. And of course it upset Ed. One area of concern to him was use of the truck, the panel truck, the green panel truck I called the Renfrew Rocket. The Renfrew Rocket is an early 1950s forest green, made to last 100 years truck with a separate starter switch that you use with your right toe. And on those days when I felt I needed a break, I'd climb in the rocket, start it up, and rumble into the town, the borough office. And I didn't realize that Ed had very close attachment to this vehicle. And somehow the sight of me rumbling down the driveway upset him greatly. But I enjoyed driving the Renfrew Rocket. And Ed was always very patient in trying to explain his point of view to me, and never bullied, never used his authority as member of the board to take advantage of my new position here. And I enjoyed working with Ed, and I certainly learned an awful lot from Ed about the collections, the apocryphal anecdote that Ed knew about different objects in the collections, about the grounds, about Waynesboro itself, and other areas. I think, looking back, that I realized then, as I realize now, that a museum can't be developed in a year and a half or 2 years, and that even if a museum is open for business, it is an institution, it is something that evolves over the years, and its evolution in large part depends on members of the board who lead it, and on staff who provide good ideas and who carry out wishes of the board. In that light, it's very hard for me to say what were my most significant contributions. I would say looking back, and it's something I didn't realize at the time, I helped get Renfrew going, and I helped see it through its infancy. I helped, as it were, change its diapers, keep it fed at night, helped it to take its fledgling steps. I was only here a little less than 2 years, and was kind of a foster parent in that role. And my contribution to Renfrew was nowhere near that of people who remain on the board, like Leroy Maxwell and the late Helen Hoffman and others. And Helen Hoffman was just entirely wonderful to deal with. At the time, my two children were young, and Helen knew they liked pedophores. So anytime there was an activity here at the museum, she insisted that Becky and I bring our kids, and that she have plates of pedophores for James and Sarah. She was also very generous in inviting me and other people from the Renfrew community to her home for dinner. Very often she had help in serving the meal, preparing and serving the meal. And Helen, of course, was very short, and the buzzer was far under her table. So we knew when Helen disappeared from sight that she was really calling for help from the kitchen. Everyone who had Helen as teacher just raved about how good she is and how tough she is. And
sometimes it stops.
Oh, sometimes it stops. I'll place the machine back on the table and be very careful of it. I think other significant contributions were in getting the collection photographed, inventoried, and brief catalog descriptions ascribed to the objects. That's not the kind of work you like to do in a museum. I mean, that is dirt work. Who likes to assign an object, paint it on, describe the object on a card, and have it prepared for typing? But it was essential that we do that. At the time, we were striving to have Renfrew Museum accredited by the American Association of Museums. And part of the accreditation process included having a very good record of our collections. And at the time, we were also very concerned about theft, because museums, like banks, lose far more to staff than they do to robbery from the outside. And of course, as people realize, we have some very valuable objects in the collections, including the full Bell collection and all the spatterware and a lot of the furniture. The Nicodemuses got good advice from Mr. Bowers, principally, and from other dealers in their collections, and they had very good taste themselves. I should say something about my greatest disappointment. When I came to Renfrew, I had planned to stay here at least 5 years. I didn't want to move my family around. I like the Waynesboro area. My children, Sarah and James, were new to the elementary schools. James started kindergarten here. Sarah was in second grade or first grade, something like that. And we liked the area. What happened is I met Mac Hess through the museum. Mac worked for the National Park Service in Harper's Ferry. And I said, "Harper's Ferry, Mac, isn't that 10,000 miles away?" He said, "No, it's about 50 minutes going down the valley." And he brought me a vacancy announcement that included a vacancy for the National Park Service's Chief of Historic Furnishings. Well, I applied thinking I wouldn't stand a chance at getting the job. And 3 weeks later, Dr. David Wallace, the Park Service's senior curator who developed Independence National Park, came to Renfrew to interview me. Now, you have to understand, most days of the year, a small house museum is fairly quiet. I mean, downright silent. But on the day David Wallace had come to visit, the Antietam Garden Club was preparing for its weekend event. And the museum was just bustling with people. And I was like Lord Nelson, directing this, directing that. And I'm sure David Wallace was just duly impressed by anyone who could have so much activity going on in a museum. And he hired me. The salary was as well considerably more than I was earning at Renfrew, and it was with much regret that I asked the board to accept my resignation, I think sometime in June of 1977, which they did. And I've tried to keep in touch with Renfrew. Glenda Larson, on my departure, did a yeoman's job in administering the museum through the summer of 1977. Her tenure allowed the board time to recruit for another person, and eventually they hired Jim Koenig, who was a Cooperstown graduate, that is, went through the Cooperstown program, I think a year or two after I was there, and had some experience, I don't know where Jim was, I've forgotten now, but Jim and I were colleagues while he was at Renfrew, and we were almost neighbors because he was living in nearby Sharpsburg, Maryland. I never realized I'd be part of history until Betsy Payette called to say she'd like to interview me. I don't see myself as being part of history, but I'm sure 20 years from now, when more people have left this area in one way or the other, much of what occurred in the 1970s will be lost. I was very pleased to walk through the grounds today to see many of the innovations, many of the ideas we talked about in place, including the Lions Club Pavilion in the parking area, dogwood planted as small saplings now grown to maturity. And perhaps the thing that impressed me most was seeing on this Wednesday morning a dozen cars in the parking area and people using all of the 107 acres. And talking to James Smith, the current curator and director, and learning that over 60,000 people use Renfrew. These are entirely rewarding figures to me and bring me immense satisfaction. Because I'm a former employee and because I've been invited, I'd like to say something in brief about the future of small house museums like Renfrew Museum and Park. I think that the costs of maintaining these areas are growing substantially, that salaries, benefits, and other expenses not foreseen 20 years ago impose a tremendous burden on small museums and parks. And I think it's important to maintain existing collections, but not to go out on, not to expand the collections in ways that further burden the museum with costs. The museum recently installed a heating, ventilating, air conditioning, a climate control system. That's very expensive. It's expensive to install, maintain, and operate. But this will help ensure preservation of the collections in perpetuity. I would hope that Renfrew might affiliate, either formally or informally, with other like institutions in the area, and perhaps take advantage of quantity purchases or other economies that can't be realized by a single museum itself. And I would certainly encourage the staff to request funds to maintain professional contacts. Another thing I did that I feel important to continue, and that is to take advantage of interest of volunteers. There's no reason that an expert in one area of the collections has to be a hired gun, has to be a paid professional curator. If a volunteer has had a lifelong interest or wants to develop a long interest in an area of the collection, such as textiles, ceramics, silver, furniture, care furniture, then I think the director curator can encourage those interests and provide training opportunities and entree to other museum collections where guides can learn more. I think it's very important to try to maintain a library of resource materials, and that will become easier in the 21st century with the advent of collections on CD-ROM and other electronic means. These are exciting times. For me, Renfrew was a wonderful place the 2 years I worked here. I enjoyed walking the grounds. I enjoyed walking through the house and feeling the sounds of the house. I enjoyed standing in the Nicodemus parlor, because that was one room preserved to the period of the Nicodemus's inhabitancy, and I hope it still is. No discussion of Renfrew could be complete without reference to the fine support the staff at the borough gave. Linda Hovis was great to me. Virginia Wiles was the treasurer. Jim Edwards was the engineer. Jim
Valentine.
Jim Valentine. Thank you. Was our engineer, and of course Dick Miller. I remember asking Pat Bresler, the only board member with children, who he recommended as a babysitter, and Pat paused. He said, well, you know, people in Waynesboro don't babysit. Usually we take our kids to my cousin or...